Now, you graduated med school.
Yeah.
But you are not a doctor. Tell me about that phone call.
Yeah.
I'm Scott McGrew. Welcome to Sand Hill Road.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The offices of Startup Incredible Health are located in San Francisco's South of Market neighborhood. The door to the office, so nondescript, it would make a good safe house for the CIA. Now, once you find the right door, you have to get through it.
Sorry.
Of course I'm going to record this, right?
Yeah. okay. Oh, you're actually going to record it? What do you mean? I'm a reporter.
Yes, that you forgot your keys and we're standing out here in the street.
That's Incredible Health CEO Iman Abuzaid. She has both an MD and an MBA. She's got millions in funding from Andreessen Horowitz, but what she doesn't have this particular morning are keys to the front door.
I hope someone replies to me. Okay, hold on.
She's using the company's Slack channel to try to get someone inside to come to the door and let us in. Problem is, Incredible Health takes pride in its work-from-home policy. Now, we found some keys. It turns out there actually was a single employee inside the office who missed his boss's message on Slack.
Matt, you're here.
Matt.
I Slacked the SF office channel. And I was like, is anyone in the office?
So we made the decision a few months ago to operate as a remote-first company. And so that had lots of, you know, different impact. So first is we were able to hire talent outside the Bay Area. And so now 70% of our team is outside of the San Francisco Bay Area. But then the second impact it had is like on office culture, right? So we have a San Francisco office, but it's optional to use. And so on any given day, there's probably at most, you know, 1 to 6 people here. And this is an office that holds close to 100 people.
Is it the same people coming into the office most of the time? There are sort of these, there are office people and then there are home people.
Exactly.
And what was it, Max? He's an office guy?
Matt, yeah, he's an office guy.
Incredible Health works with nurses and hospitals as a matchmaker service. It's been incredibly successful. We'll get more detail on that later. But the most striking thing right now is this is my first time back inside a startup since the pandemic started, and it is empty.
I mean, the biggest impact the remote first and the pandemic has had is the ability to hire anywhere in the country. Yeah. And so when we initially announced remote first, I think immediately five different team members were like, I'm out of here, out of the Bay Area completely, and have moved to Virginia, have moved to Philadelphia. I mean, these are individuals with families, with homes, you know, sold their houses in the Bay Area and left.
I was talking to Tom Siebel the other day, and he said, no, he wants all hands on deck. He said, unless we're shoulder to shoulder, we don't get the creativity that we need.
And we're confident that when you're inventing new things, you need to get very bright people together to work kind of shoulder to shoulder collaboratively to get the work done.
Obviously, you disagree with that, or maybe your requirements are different.
Yeah, I think you have to, as a CEO and as a leadership team, we've had to really consciously ensure that the remote-first approach works from a productivity standpoint and from a creativity standpoint, to his point, right? So we've had to implement like several different processes and communication procedures and so on. So for example, the ability to join an ad hoc Zoom at any time. Right? That's just like a cultural norm now. Another one is the importance of documentation, right? Because you can't just, you know, pass by someone and explain an instruction or something. And so things have to be documented. But certainly also when you show up to a meeting or a Zoom call, I mean, we did this in person as well, is make sure you got all your ducks in a row. Make sure you have your agenda, like you sent it out ahead of time. You've identified the problems you want to cover and so on. And then we've also increased our communication cadence. So we do more one-on-ones now. All hands is not just every other month; it's every 2 weeks now. And so we've really increased the frequency of the communication with the team because we're not interacting as much as we used to.
You know, one of the classic things that a CEO says is, "My door is always open." Are there employees that you have not yet met in person?
There are, yeah. In person, yes. There's a huge number that I haven't met in person. I think we have 60 team members now. I think, gosh, at least 40 of them have been hired in the last few months. At least 40 and probably more. So yeah, there's many, many team members I've never met in person.
Wow. So you're solving a nursing shortage. Economically, there shouldn't be a nursing shortage in the sense that they get paid a pretty good amount of money in the Bay Area. It's a highly respected job. People think well of it. I have no doubt it's a very difficult job. But why is there a nursing shortage?
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with the demographics of the United States, right, and globally. So our demand for healthcare as a country keeps going up because our population is aging. Of course, pandemics don't help. They add another strain on that demand too. And so as a result of that, the supply of workers has not kept up with the demand. And there's many different bottlenecks in the system. So for example, there aren't enough nursing schools that can train nurses. Nursing schools have huge wait lists. Another bottleneck is the training after nursing school. Not many hospitals and health systems are willing to train new graduate nurses, so there's very few programs. So there's lots of different bottlenecks in the system that is really limiting the supply.
So you put hospitals and nurses together. I've heard you know, and other people refer to it as the match.com of nursing. Is there something beyond that, or is that your what your plan is, your charter? You're just to attach nurses to hospitals, get nurses into hospitals?
Yeah, no, it's definitely beyond that. So our mission as a company is to help healthcare professionals live better lives and help them find and do their best work. So today we are a career marketplace for nurses, right? So hospitals and health systems, they use our software to hire nurses in 20 days or less, where it normally takes like 80 days or longer. Right now in 2021, we're very focused on just nurses and acute care hospitals and health systems, and we're expanding geographically. We're in 14 states today. We'll be in 18 states in a few weeks. We'll be in the entire country by early next year. After that, our plans are to add more types of healthcare workers beyond nurses, like, you know, doctors, physical therapists, pharmacists, so on. There's shortages in all these areas, and they can benefit from a product like this. And then other types of employers in healthcare beyond the acute care health systems, right? So there's urgent care and surgical centers and so on. Healthcare is the biggest labor sector in the country by number of workers and by total dollars spent on the labor too. But it is the sector that has the biggest shortages. Like the demand, the supply is just not keeping up with the demand. And so our ambition is to be the category defining market leading company in healthcare labor.
Tell me about the path to getting funded.
Yeah, so we've in total have raised $17 million in venture capital to date. We started this company in 2017, so just over 4 years ago. Our seed round was led by James Joaquin at Obvious Ventures. Our Series A was led by Jeff Jordan and Andreessen Horowitz. We've been very fortunate in a lot of ways that both rounds of funding were always oversubscribed, and we were able to be very selective as founders and could pick, you know, whichever investors we wanted. We've been really fortunate with the investors that we have.
Explain to someone who maybe doesn't know a lot about venture what it means to be funded by Andreessen Horowitz.
Yeah, that's a great question. All right. In my opinion, and you know, there will be others that disagree with my opinion, being funded by Andreessen Horowitz is an unfair advantage you can have as a CEO because they bring a lot to the table. And you know, I'm not sitting here trying to be an advertisement for Andreessen Horowitz.
Okay? I asked you.
but I just want to highlight some of the benefits of working with them. Number one, first and foremost, the partner Jeff Jordan that I work with is the master of marketplaces. I mean, he was a CEO at OpenTable, the president of eBay, the early investor and board member at Airbnb, Pinterest, Instacart, so on. So, I mean, he knows marketplaces like the back of his hand. So if you are a marketplace founder, which is what I am, having that level of expertise at the board that's at your fingertips is really helpful. Now, in addition to that, they have spent a lot of time building a huge brand, and that brand is now known nationally, if not globally, and it's definitely very well known in tech. So when it comes to hiring, which is probably one of the number one things that I have to achieve as a CEO, having a large brand like that does give credibility to the company and help, and definitely helps with employee hiring. And then the third thing that they have helped with is just all their additional services. I mean, they have an army there. I think there's over 200 people there now and growing. And so their talent team has helped us with executive hiring. Their marketing and PR team has helped us connect us to reporters. Their market dev team has also helped us connect to hospital executives. So really, there's not really much more I can ask for from a venture capital firm in terms of, you know, quote unquote value add. And it has... working with them, of course, the credit and the effort goes to the founders and the team, but having them has helped. It's been an accelerant.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
You were asked by a previous reporter about stamps on your resume. This was with Shivari Johari. And you said that's a controversial topic. To be honest with you, I had to look up what that even meant. And you answered, in my case specifically, having these brands mattered. When fundraising, selling, getting a job, there's a distinct advantage if you have McKinsey on your resume or you have Wharton on your resume, which you do. You said this is the easiest way for deciding how to categorize you, the single one among many. You know, that's too bad, isn't it?
It is too bad.
Yeah, but yet it still exists.
It still exists. I mean, if you remember that Netflix documentary where the parents were, the whole USC fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
Parents were bribing
schools
to get a varsity blues. Unfortunately, that's a lot of how our society operates. And I agree, it is too bad because if you don't have, you shouldn't be judged based on that.
But you were, and you said in my case specifically it was important. Why is that?
I think my case specifically, it was important because the statistics for founders and CEOs that look like me are pretty atrocious. For those of you listening, I am black and I am also a female. And so, less than 1% of venture capital goes to black founders and 0.3% of venture capital goes to black female founders. And so, look, the statistics are the statistics. The odds are stacked against you. And so, you need to do whatever you can to overcome that. And the brands helped, as well as many other things.
Sure,
like having a great story and a
market fit.
And so
yeah.
On. Yeah, of course.
Your public relations person, in fact, wanted to make sure that I knew that you were a black CEO and you could speak to that unique challenge.
Yeah.
But your background is actually cosmopolitan. You're from Sudan.
Correct. Correct.
You grew up in Saudi Arabia and the United Kingdom.
Yep.
How long have you been in the United States?
I've been here since 2009, so about 11 years.
Okay. Now, as a middle-aged, white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant man, I sometimes hesitate to get into this discussion, but you've had a very different Black experience, haven't you, than the average African-American?
I would agree. I mean, I'm also, you can categorize me as an immigrant.
Sure. Well, you are an immigrant.
You are an immigrant. Yep.
But because I'm asking a blind question.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you, if anything, that you are a Black woman in America, but you've been a Black woman in America since 2009?
Well, correct. I mean, the issues around race and the issues that America deals with are global in nature. I mean, it's very similar problems in other parts of the world. So it's not like it's not unique to the American experience, to be honest. Same similar challenges in the UK, in the Middle East, and in other places I've lived. I honestly try not to fixate on that because it's great to be aware of it and be aware of the issues and the statistics and so on. But what you have to do as a Black founder or Black professional in general is almost like compartmentalize. Right, because it's not from a mental standpoint, it's not great. In my opinion, it's not great to fixate on it. At the end of the day, like you have goals you want to achieve, you have things you want to get done. I mean, you just got to go do it, right? And just be as assertive as you can, and as professional, and just deliver on the excellence as much as you can. And that's in every situation. It could be fundraising, could be encouraging employees to join the company, it could be selling to customers and so on, or working with reporters. You just have to put your best foot forward.
One of the commonalities that anyone from any culture has is that our parents put pressure on us to achieve.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to ask the question, do I? You just go ahead, just answer the question.
Yeah, I mean, my father is a surgeon, I do come from a family of high achievers, say.
Yeah, what do your brothers do?
My two older brothers are surgeons as well. Mm-hmm. My sister's a UX designer. My youngest brother is a product manager.
And did you go to med school?
And I did go to med school, and I do have an MBA, right, from Wharton. So, achieving excellence was drilled into us from an early age, just put it that way.
Now, you graduated med school.
Yeah.
But you are not a doctor. Tell me about that phone call.
Yeah. No, honestly, yeah, my dad wasn't thrilled, but I think he's gotten over it now. Going to medical school was, I mean, I have no regrets. I think working as a doctor, it's a phenomenal profession. It has tons of satisfaction with it. For me personally, one-on-one patient care was great. But I really wanted to have an impact on a systems level, and that's hard to do when you're just doing clinical medicine. And so that is why I pursued the path that I did, and now arrived at running a software or technology company. And the most amazing thing about software is its ability to scale and its ability to impact, in our case, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. So that's the impact is what's really motivated me to leave medicine and pursue the path that I have.
I always enjoy on Twitter when, somebody offers an opinion and somebody says, well, what would you know? And the person says, well, I wrote the book that we're talking about.
Right.
You've seen those, right?
Yeah.
Have you had a situation in which people sat down in a conference room and said, well, I really respect you as a Silicon Valley CEO, but here, let me explain to you about medicine, where you got to say, oh yeah, no, I'm an MD.
Yeah, that has definitely happened. It's happened a lot, actually, in the last 12 months in the context of COVID, because, we can talk about it, but COVID has had lots of different impact on our business. But yeah, I mean, it's always funny when it happens.
It's also got to be a little satisfying, right? Like, oh, yes, I also am a physician. Yes.
Right. And if, on the med Twitter and is a whole thing. Even beyond tech Twitter.
So, yes. If you saw Incredible Health a couple of years ago and were thinking about investing in it, what would have been any hesitations? What would you have met with your partners and said, yes, but?
Oh, that's a great question.
Because I was so convinced, you know, I mean, it's a very hard question because I was fully bought in.
It was designed that way.
Yeah, and knew we were going to succeed. I would say when we started, like when we were raising our seed round, rewind times to like 2017, right? And at this point, we're two founders, we're an idea, we're, you know, a few lines of code, but not much traction. I mean, our missing traction at the time was a reason why many individuals said no, and why other funds said no. However, for those that said yes, I mean, I think it's paying off for them well. And at the end of the day, and I take this ethos even when I'm investing in the early stage, is like you're betting on the founders, you're betting on the team at that early stage, and ensuring that they can figure it out. And even at that early stage, we had a pretty clear story, mission, vision, mark. We'd analyze the heck out of the market, the customers, so on, and knew what we were going to build and what the differentiators were going to be for the product. So we had our act together, to be honest. The only thing missing, though, was attraction.
Lots of people have ideas, and one of them could easily be, you know, it seems like there's a nursing shortage and we ought to be able to get, you know, nurses in hospitals to connect. Well, anybody can come up with that. It's figuring out the solution that is the hard part. Why is your solution better?
Yeah, there's a few different things. There's a few different aspects to our solution that make it better and make it work. First, the on our platform, the employers are applying to the talent instead mm-hmm. of the other way around. As you can imagine, the nurses absolutely love that. The second is we've automated the screening or pre-vetting of the talent at scale. And so through integrations with other databases and so on, we're able to serve up the highest quality talent possible. And then the third thing is our custom matching algorithms. What that enables is a highly personalized experience for both sides of the platform. So for example, let's say you're a recruiter at, let's pick one of our local hospitals, let's pick Stanford, right? If you were a Stanford recruiter and you log in, like you don't want to see 200 nurses, like you need to see like 11 that are the exact right fit for you at the time. Mm-hmm. Same thing from a nurse. If you are a highly sought after OR nurse, like you don't want to hear from 100 employers, you want to hear from 5 that are the exact right fit for you. And that's what our custom matching algorithms enable. Now, those three things are what ultimately enable the speed accelerant that happens. So the hiring is now happening in 20 days instead of the national average of 80 days. And also we save, the cost savings for the hospital and health system are huge. On average, we save at least $2 million per facility every year. And we're doing that because by being well-staffed with permanent nurses, they don't have to spend as much on contract workers, which are usually 2 or 3 times more expensive. And they can see, they have the ability to see more patients as well.
Just want to conclude with looking out. We're sitting in a conference room with a big glass window, and there are all kinds of desks and cubicles and whatnot. And one person out there, and we started by talking about that, you know, that people are working remotely. What do you think this scene will look like, you know, a year from now? Will you be in San Francisco? Will there be people in those chairs, or are you going to continue as is?
Yeah, it's a great question. We haven't made the decision yet, but it's, if I had to guess, we would not have a San Francisco office anymore. And instead shift that budget to actually meeting in different cities every quarter or something like that.
That would be fascinating.
That would be really fun. Yeah. And I think we're already operating in a way that as if the San Francisco office doesn't really exist. You know, it's
except for Max.
Yeah, except for Max. So the utilization is pretty low. So it's gonna look pretty different a year from now.
Iman Abu Zaid, co-founder and CEO at Incredible Health. Sand Hill Road is produced by Sean Myers under the leadership of Sarah Bueno and Stephanie Adruni. For more interviews with Silicon Valley's most influential entrepreneurs, check me out on TV at Press Here. That's Sunday mornings on NBC Bay Area and everywhere in the world on iTunes and at PressHereTV.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.